and welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. How was your Thanksgiving, Bob?
I had a pretty good Thanksgiving. I had a barbecue turkey.
Oh, wow.
One of the only things that you can't buy on steinersports.com.
What a lead-in.
For everything else, though, this week's episode is brought to you by Steiner Sports. They're the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. When listeners use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout, they receive a 20% discount on their purchases. How was your Thanksgiving, Matt?
Not bad. Could we get a autographed turducken by John Madden? Is that on there?
It should be.
Yeah, you can get anything on there. Thanksgiving was fine. Just hung out with friends, and then my family was in town a little bit this weekend.
Yeah, the NBA took Thanksgiving off, and then, as a cruel joke, had all 30 teams play on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I wanted to bet the under on just every game because I imagined a lot of sloppy, heavy turkey-laden performances.
Sure.
And that's about what we got.
I wonder if any of them had a barbecue turkey. Is it a turkey on a barbecue?
Well, the barbecue is left outside when they serve the turkey. But yeah, that's how they prepare it. So it's essentially the entire bird smoked over the coals for, I think it was only 2 hours, actually. High heat.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Did it taste good?
It was excellent. I mean, crispy skin all the way around.
Oh,
that's
nice.
What you want.
Yeah.
You know? Oftentimes with the pan, the whole bottom half is just soggy.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Wet. Still turkey. I mean, it's still good, but there's no replacing crispy skin.
Yeah.
This podcaster's opinion.
Exactly.
I wanted to tell our listeners to subscribe to Brick House if you haven't already on iTunes. If you're feeling especially generous this holiday season, leave us a rating and a review. We've gotten a few more of those, so thanks to our listeners for leaving those. Those of you who have, you know who you are. You can tweet us at Brick House Pod. Check out the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I know I have been. You can listen to them at almightyballer.com. These guys have really been putting in work, you know, over Thanksgiving. I saw, actually on Thanksgiving Day, at least 3 new podcasts came out on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network.
No sleep.
The NBA takes Thanksgiving off, but the Almighty Baller Podcast Network does not. On Thanksgiving, I snuck away to listen to The Flagrant Take.
Okay.
It's run by two hosts, Jim and Fred, so monosyllabic named hosts like Bob and Matt.
Yeah.
Off to a good start right there.
We don't want to overwhelm the listeners with too many syllables.
Yeah, these guys are funny. I definitely recommend you check it out. They don't take themselves too seriously, although one of them does take the New York Knicks pretty seriously, which is funny in and of itself.
Got to take something seriously.
In their most recent episode, they break down the difference between the dons of the NBA, Greg Popovich, Pat Riley, and Phil Jackson. Their conclusion, essentially, that Pop builds from within, Riley recruits, and Jackson is a hired assassin.
Okay.
We'll get back to this assassin bit in a little bit when
discuss
possible NBA Manchurian candidates.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the big news from my Thanksgiving, Matt, is that I caught up on a movie from a remake from 12 years ago and an original movie that is 54 years old,
yeah.
The Manchurian Candidate. I don't know how I have never seen this movie before, but now it's like one of my favorites. It's inspired an entire Brick House podcast episode, or at least half of one, once we tell you a few things that happened around the league.
We both caught up on 54-year-old movies. I saw the first James Bond ever for the first time.
Oh, nice, yeah.
You saw the Manchurian Candidate from 62 for the first time.
You know what? You know what's in the Manchurian Candidate from 1962? Angela Lansbury.
Oh, wow.
When I saw that, I thought, oh, man, maybe she's playing the love interest like Vera Farmiga in the Denzel version. But no, in 1962, Angela Lansbury was still old playing the mother character.
She was the mom.
The one played by Meryl Streep in the remake.
She's the mom of Sinatra?
Sinatra is the
candidate?
Platoon mate.
Oh.
The candidate. I think the actor's name is Lawrence Harvey.
Okay.
We'll get into all that in a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
Mark Cuban was in the news again Last week we were telling you about the bromance gone wrong between Mark Cuban and Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, I don't really want to relive that, Bob. It's a little too close to home.
This week, Mark Cuban is righting wrongs done by Chili's restaurant. I found this story strange.
Yeah, really? Okay, go on.
So Chili's had a special offering where they were giving free meals to veterans on Veterans Day.
Very noble.
Yeah, nice thing. I mean, it's no filet mignon, I'm sure, but free meal's a free meal. So Ernest Walker was dining at this Chili's in Texas when the manager questioned his military service and took away his food.
Okay.
Like many things in our society today, Walker recorded the incident on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Chili's did eventually apologize, but we've learned that Mark Cuban heard about this story and wanted to take the opportunity to personally honor the vet himself. So Cuban made this offer to Ernest Walker. He gave him 2 season tickets to the Dallas Mav games for the rest of the season, 10 bonus tickets to Wednesday night's game so Walker could bring 10 more vets, plus 10 bonus tickets to most Mav home games to give out to other vets and people in need. And Cuban agreed to donate money to Ernest's campaign to feed 1 million soldiers.
Wow. Okay.
Now, when I read this, you know, there's a part of me that thinks, well, this is the time of year for stories like this. You know, people from all walks of life just wanting to do something right by another human being.
Sure.
But of course, I also have the other part of me that thinks that there's something else at stake here.
Oh, what would you say?
I don't know if it's necessarily sinister. I always think that there's an ulterior motive.
Okay. What would be the ulterior motive to giving away free tickets to a 2-13 basketball
team? Well, the first thing I Googled was, does Mark Cuban own Chili's restaurant? All the stories I could find when you Google Mark Cuban and Chili's are about Marky Mark hooking up Ernest Walker.
Sure.
After this embarrassing incident.
Right.
So if he does own Chili's in part or outright, this donation of tickets has driven that fact all the way to the second page of Google, at least.
Right.
And no one knows what's on the second page of Google.
No one's ever looked at... I don't even know what's on the bottom half of the first page of Google, Bob.
All of the CIA's like secret microfilm information could be on the second page of Google, and we would never know.
Right.
The second and third thing I Googled, does Mark Cuban own Applebee's, and does Mark Cuban own TGI Fridays?
Okay.
Because if he doesn't own Chili's, then, you know...
Decent odds he owns one of those, Bob.
Yeah. I would think that this veteran... who is black, by the way,
right,
gets refused a meal on Chili's, that's going to show up on the Dallas local news.
Uh-huh.
But if Mark Cuban gives the same guy free Mavs tickets, all of a sudden, we got ESPN covering this story.
Yes.
Which means Chili's gets its name in the paper more and more for being bigoted, anti-military, etc., making a boneheaded decision in this particular...
Right, which would benefit Applebee's and TGI Fridays.
Does Mark Cuban hate the owner of Chili's?
Right.
See, what if the owner of Chili's is like the Donald Sterling of crappy restaurants?
Okay.
And Cuban has been waiting for his opportunity to expose him for the racist he knows him to be for years.
Whoa.
He finally saw his chance. But all the conspiracies aside, I think the most likely answer to this Mark Cuban... writing Chili's restaurants wrongs has everything to do, really, with Cuban desperate to get people to go to Dallas Mavericks games this year.
The 2-13 Dallas Mavericks, Bob?
The worst team in the NBA.
That's crazy. I really whiffed on that.
The memories of the pre-Cuban Mavs could be creeping back into Dallas fans' heads. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been 17 years of Mark Cuban doing a great job at changing the culture of the Dallas Mavericks. But, you know, even you and I are old enough to remember that the Mavs were perennially pathetic.
Oh, they were very bad, yes.
They were on the level of the Clippers or the Chicago Cubs for just being losers.
Right.
Long shot? theory as to what's going on.
So none of these were long shot theories. Okay, lay the long shot theory on me.
Cuban is starting his campaign for 2020 president 3 years early. His campaign promise? To be the photo negative of Donald Trump. Lesson number 27, don't mock veterans. Give them Mavs season tickets.
Oh, wow. That is, season tickets to basketball games is the one thing Trump can't give them because he doesn't own the team. So that is a leg up. I like it. I like all of it.
Something's awry. I think the truth will eventually come out. Maybe we'll have to get Chandler Parsons on the phone.
Yeah, he's our guy.
About this time last year, Jahlil Okafor of the 76ers was getting in fights outside clubs.
Oh, yes.
This year, Joel Embiid is going to the club in his Joel Embiid 76ers jersey.
Might as well.
The other night, after scoring 26 points in 20 minutes during a win, Joel Embiid wore his red Sixers number 21 jersey to recess a club in Philadelphia and ordered Shirley Temples for everyone.
Did he order Shirley Temples?
I can safely assume so.
We'll assume.
Matt, can we take a minute to tell our listeners about the Steiner Sports offer?
You take as long as you want.
Steiner Sports, as we said at the top, is the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. When listeners use the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout, they receive a 20% discount on their purchases. Matt, speaking of hot-headed Americans, I found something awesome on SteinerSports.com.
Oh, wow.
What? How about an autographed Bob Knight, yes, 1984 Olympic champions cartoon signed 16x20 photo with Olympic gold inscription.
Yes, I'm looking this up right now. I need to see that. How did you stumble upon that?
I was searching for patriotic stuff in honor of this Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, okay.
Podcast we're about to unveil.
Was an Olympic style thing, huh?
Yeah, it's a cool piece of memorabilia. It's caricatures of the entire 84 Olympic team signed by Coach Bob Knight.
Jordan would be on there, right?
Jordan's on there. There's a surprising amount of white players on there.
We have Ewing here. Is that... Oh, yeah, this is a good one. I like it.
It's something that only SteinerSports.com could offer. And for 20% off using the offer code ALMIGHTY, you might as well just go and pick up this Olympic swag right now. Well, let's get back to the show and the promised Manchurian Candidate bit. As we said, I watched this Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, Liv Schreiber remake of the Manchurian Candidate this past week. It triggered my conspiracy theorist reflexes. It just got them all going. I can't believe I had never seen this before because it's such a perfect movie for conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
It got me thinking, Matt, what if an NBA player were brainwashed... We're a brainwashed guy who can be activated and controlled by a giant corporation. I should say that if you haven't watched The Manchurian Candidate, this next segment will contain spoilers. Although, I had to be honest, like, one of the reasons why I never admitted to never seeing this movie is because The Manchurian Candidate I've heard as part of the lexicon for so many years, I never wanted to admit... I don't know what they're talking about.
Did you seek out to watch this, or did it happen to that it was on and you watched it?
It happened because my wife is writing a screenplay about soldiers who are controlled and can be activated. And during writing group, some of the people in her group suggested, oh, have you seen Manchurian Candidate?
Gotcha.
That's a great example of someone, a soldier who's activated.
So research for her and just general enjoyment for you.
I had DVR'd it many months back, and we were going through looking for something to watch, and she said, hey, we should watch that one.
Yeah.
Glad we did.
I think America's about to be glad you did, too.
All right, so if Anthony Davis were controlled by a giant corporation, Matt...
Whoa.
I posit
that
Anthony Davis would be the Dove candidate. Dove as in the bar of soap, Matt.
Sure.
Hear me out here.
Okay.
Not all of these would have to be sinister. Anthony Davis was given growth hormones in high school that shot him up from, whatever, 6'2 to 6'11 in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it made his eyebrows look like a Western villain's mustache turned upside down. This is all new technology. There's weird side effects.
Right, of course. We're living in a Manchurian candidate world.
But this side effect causes the Dove Corporation to create the Love the Skin You're In campaign.
Sure.
With Anthony Davis being the poster boy.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to shave his unibrow. He owns his unibrow. He loves the skin he's in. He's the perfect Dove candidate.
Absolutely. That's good. That's a good one. That is a perfect one. Bob, have you ever heard of Shock Doctor?
Shock Doctor?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't think you have. Neither did I. And there's a reason. Not many people have heard of it, but it sells athletic supporters and cups, so jock straps and cups.
Oh, okay.
Right? But no one has heard of this.
Okay.
That's why Draymond Green has been called into action by Shock Doctor. When you think about it, no one knows who they are. Basketball players don't wear cups.
Not usually. So
Shock Doctor's missing out on a big market. Draymond, we know he has a proclivity for kicking people in an area where you would need a cup. That's why Shock Doctor has gotten into the mind of Draymond to alert the NBA and a certain part of the country of what they're missing.
This all adds up.
Yeah, so
makes a lot of sense.
Shock Doctor needs people to know that they need these things, but they can't come right out and say, hey, you need a cup. They need people to realize that, oh, well, you know.
They need Stephen Adams to put one of these things on.
Right.
Before you know it, all of New Zealand's wearing these things.
Oh, so maybe Stephen Adams is also, maybe they could both be in on this.
Stephen Adams I could definitely see as some sort of weird robot.
Well, he has 17 brothers and sisters whose families he needs to help
out.
That's
pretty much in an army.
Yeah.
I think JaVale McGee, Matt, could be the Shaqt and a Fool candidate.
Oh, now, wow.
I posit this.
Yes.
McGee is controlled by Shaq himself. The guy's got about as much money as a corporation anyways, right?
Sure.
Shaq himself is trying to boost ratings for his TNT segment and his own NBA TV spinoff, Shaqt and a Fool. How else could a professional-level athlete be as clumsy and make such poor decisions as JaVale McGee, unless Shaq is behind the scenes with a joystick, causing McGee to trip over balls, shoot at the wrong basket, fly across the court? This is what I think's happening. See, Shaq has 4 championship rings, and he loves to hold that over Barkley pretty much every episode of Inside the NBA.
Sure.
But Barkley has 2 Emmys, and Shaq only has 1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think this drives Shaq crazy.
Yeah, because Shaq is more, he likes pop culture a lot more than basketball, I think, right?
He likes lording over Barkley.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah.
That much we know.
Right.
But yes, he is also a big pop culture guy. JaVale McGee.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. Bob, I don't know if you saw in the news that AT&T and Time Warner are about to have a merger.
Oh, boy.
It's a very controversial merger.
That's
probably because both those places suck, but also
that's the worst customer service.
Yeah. There's a merger. A lot of people are against it. It's a huge high-profile merger, so they needed something to show that mergers aren't a bad thing. Right?
Okay.
That's why they called Kevin Durant into action to have him merge with the Warriors.
Oh.
Yeah. The point was to get KD to go. See, AT&T is already a superpower.
Right.
And Time Warner,
I mean, they're run by Rupert Murdoch, aren't they?
Like, right. So KD is an individual superpower. The Warriors are a team superpower. These two media superpowers needed to get people to realize that superpowers merging isn't a bad thing. So they wanted to float this in so that people could see this and they could either A, be okay with mergers, or AT&T and Time Warner can slide under the basketball merger unseen.
Everyone's so mad at Kevin Durant, they don't even notice
right
that they're on hold for 14 hours waiting for the yeah. Time Warner cable guy.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Matt, I'm convinced that Phil Jackson has got to be involved in this somehow.
Oh, man. Of course.
And it would definitely make him like the Angela Lansbury or Meryl Streep character, mm-hmm. I'm convinced. The mother. Because if anyone were really a foreign Trojan horse brought to America for NBA fans to fall in love with right before he was activated by his dark overlords to destroy us all, it would be Kristaps Porzingis.
Whoa, yes.
I myself, when asked my opinion of Kristaps, I can't even muster a word of criticism. And that's what we do on this show, Matt. That's all we do is criticize NBA players. But I've drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I think I've been brainwashed by Phil and Kristaps combined. When someone asks me, what do I think of Kristaps Porzingis?
Love him.
I sound like one of Raymond Shaw's platoon mates.
Sure.
And they're all brainwashed to say the same thing about Raymond Shaw. People ask me, what do you think of Kristaps? I just say he's the kindest, bravest, warmest human being I've ever known in my life.
I love his jump shot. I love his rebounding. I love his hair that he had when he was a 15-year-old looking up to Carmelo. You know, HBO, they always say it's not just TV, it's HBO.
Right.
HBO, they love violence, they love confusion. They love like yelling and more confusion and like WTF moments. HBO loves all this, right?
Gratuitous nudity.
Right. I left that one out cuz this actually I can't confirm it in this situation, but I'm sure it's there.
Uh-huh.
HBO, they're always looking for this controversy and this type of stuff. What better team to create the controversy and the confusion than our brick house favorite, the Kings?
I'm listening.
Yeah, I have. There's only one, because it's obviously all this isn't, and translating to the basketball court, all these moves and these decisions.
Yeah.
So the only place it really could translate to is HBO. Mm. All of this, there's got to be gratuitous nudity, I'm sure. Yeah, there's locker room, I'm sure. The violence, there's got to be violence in there. Confusion is the bit. I haven't watched Westworld, but I think.
Oh, it's confusing.
Yeah, right? Kings are very confusing.
Starting Costa Kufos is very confusing.
Yeah. WTF moments. HBO loves those with Game of Thrones and all these. The Kings, they just have them all the time. So this is either leading up to a great big HBO show or some sort of HBO show that is basically the Kings. But they needed to test it out in real life before they could go full way. It's not just the Kings, Bob. It's HBO.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would give up Game of Thrones to watch that show.
Yeah.
Matt, I postulate that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are the hipster candidates.
Oh, okay.
If Silver Lake hipsters are controlling anyone, it would be one of these two.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Westbrook and Harden are controlling all the Silver Lake hipsters. They don't know why they just want to grow big beards and buy Buddy Holly eyeglasses. They're just compelled to do it. But it is a one not so secret theory that David Stern might have created this monster himself with the NBA dress code.
Yeah.
He outlawed do-rags, baggy jeans, t-shirts, and jerseys, except Joel Embiid wearing his own jersey. And NBA players gravitated to the many styles of the hipster chic.
Yes.
To show off their individuality.
Right. Just a giant, oh wow, it is, the NBA is becoming Silver Lake, is what you're saying.
One beard at a time.
Whoa, okay. Bob, what if I were to tell you the man, one of the men we just referenced, Mark Cuban, might actually be a Manchurian candidate?
Oh, I think he could be.
Under the control of Joe Lacob.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't see this one coming,
no,
did you?
No, I did not.
Bogut, Harrison Barnes, younger Curry, all to the Mavs, right?
Right.
Now, they're not doing too well right now. But Lacob, as we already know, is the smartest man in America, right?
Alleged. Light years ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, light years ahead. Best at blackjack, best at NBA, best at all of it. You get bored when you're the best at everything.
Naturally.
So what Lacob decided to do is he decided he dominated with one team, he wanted to show he was good enough to mind control another owner into building another team off all of his players that he already had.
He couldn't pay all of them on the Warriors.
Right, but he still wanted to show that he's smart enough. He basically wanted to show he's brilliant enough to create two teams.
Wow.
He just needed an owner to be willing to kind of take that on.
Is he also controlling Mark Cuban into tanking this year?
Because that's this is all part of the plan. Don't worry,
Harry Giles.
Yeah,
is the prize.
Well, yeah, Lake Up knows what he's doing. He's the smartest man in America.
Yeah, I won't question him.
Bogut, by the way, he's averaging 3.7 points a game.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's played in 12 games. He is averaging 10 rebounds. So admittedly, I haven't watched a Mavericks game, but they must be taking all 10 pointers this year.
That's probably like 3.5 points more than Zaza Pachulia is averaging, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
Well, on Joe Lacob's team, we have Steph Curry, who I think is obviously the Under Armour candidate, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
And this one is brilliant. The decision to make Curry into a corporate basketball cyborg was probably made during Davidson's run to the Elite Eight.
Sure.
You know, when Curry really took the world by storm.
Yeah.
And what better way to compete with Nike than to make a player that all kids could relate to, right? LeBron James is a freak of nature. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
He's, you know, the size of a defensive end, but he plays like a guard.
Hardly any NBA players can relate to him, really.
Exactly. So make the best player on Earth play like the video game avatar that every kid in America makes for himself when playing NBA 2K. You've done this before, I'm sure.
Of course.
You know, make someone who's like 6'1", but with 99 skill sets on everything,
Right.
So basically he could do a layup from three-quarter court and it's going in.
You're right.
I think if Curry dunks on LeBron at any point ever, this should be the last piece of evidence we need that Curry is activated and being controlled by a higher power. On a similar note, you suppose that Kevin Durant could be controlled by Time Warner or AT&T as a way to make mergers more acceptable.
Yeah.
I think there's another world where Kevin Durant could be, you know, just controlled by Nike. Maybe Nike is going to merge with Time Warner as well.
Really?
But this one, I imagine, more like the 62 Manchurian Candidate. It's kind of Cold War, right?
Black and white.
But
yeah.
Things are a little more clear. So Under Armour thought they were the only ones developing an NBA basketball player with mind control devices with their Steph Curry bot.
Sure.
Nike was hatching their own plot to thwart this power grab attempt. Pretty much anything that a shoe company is doing, you should assume that Nike is also doing the same thing and making it better. They've got like, what's the guy's name from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Smithers
or Slugworth.
Slugworth, yeah. Spies on the inside.
Right. So they have sure. So Phil Knight is the Willy Wonka and he has something like that. Yeah, okay, sure.
Nike probably has dozens of soldiers or candidates under their control, but KD is the only one that could move to Under Armour's team and sabotage all this goodwill that they had by making Steph Curry, you know, such a transcendent star. Kind of waters down Curry's starshine when you have Kevin Durant, you know, at least top three player in the NBA join that team, right?
If there's someone powerful enough to do it, it's Nike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it seems to be working. This is actual, not conjecture, but the stock value of Under Armour, they've lost nearly $600 million of its value as a company as of this past week.
Whoa.
Their stock plummeted by more than 4% after the CEO of Foot Locker said that the latest version of Steph Curry's shoe isn't doing as well as expected.
Well, yeah, it looks like shoes I would have bought for $20 from discount shoe stores.
Well, that's one of the problems. They raised the price by $20 over the last Steph Curry shoe. And while Curry's products make up only about 5% of Under Armour's total business, which is $200 million per year, he is the company's most prominent endorser. Nike's Manchurian Candidate.
Wow.
that is accomplishing his mission.
Out of all the things we just said, this is the one that's taking place in real life. Wow.
There could be one more, I think, that's taking place in real life, Matt. You know I saved LeBron James for last.
Of course.
But LeBron James...
What does this segment have to do with LeBron James?
Everything,
okay,
Matt.
Okay, all right.
Because LeBron James wouldn't have it on any other way than for LeBron James to be the LeBron James candidate.
Oh, whoa, wait. Okay.
LeBron admits to spending millions on his body annually.
Yeah.
Right? And it certainly seems to be paying off, whether he's doing a summer paleo diet to drop pounds or sleeping in a cryogenic chamber, which he said he does. He's always putting in work, doing it right, doing it on his own terms. Why would brainwashing be any different for LeBron? I swear, if this really were a real thing and LeBron thought he could take advantage of it, he would.
Brainwashing himself.
Okay. I think, in fact, LeBron could be brainwashing, hypnotizing his entire team.
Sure.
And in fact, this season looks like evidence that he might just be doing that.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Love just wrote an Instagram post thanking LeBron for drawing up plays for him in the huddle.
Okay, yeah.
After Love scored 34 points in the first quarter of a game this past week, including 8 threes.
Right, right. Okay. This is next level stuff.
LeBron James. He's a mastermind. I mean, he was written about in Time magazine in their genius special edition.
You know,
he's up there with Albert Einstein. And
I think, though, to be fair, if LeBron, his crew, or posse, as Phil Jackson likes to call them, they would just tell him they were brainwashed, even if they weren't, just, you know, because he pays the bills and he's kind of the guy. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, I was so inspired to do this Manchurian Candidate NBA episode because of something that I saw on YouTube this past week.
Right.
It was the LeBron James Hamilton, the musical parody that was done. And it made me think, like, if there is such a Venn diagram that covers people who love the musical Hamilton and people who love LeBron James and the NBA, and I'm the kind of person that falls into this small subset.
Yeah, it'd be a small...
That overlaps.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an even smaller subsect of people who love the Manchurian Candidate and the NBA as much as I do.
Well, we're about to find out.
No one's going to subscribe to our podcast ever again. Matt, we had to include this segment each week, our diss of the week.
Yo mama is so fat.
This one, I don't even know if it's a diss. Maybe you can tell me. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it's something.
It's.
And I thought it was very funny. This was from Denver coach Mike Malone after a recent game between the Nuggets and the Thunder. Malone said, "Russell Westbrook plays like someone pissed in his cereal." To which Westbrook replied, "I don't even know what that means." I'm kind of with Westbrook on this one.
Yeah, I don't think it's a diss, but I think it...
I think it's a compliment.
Yeah, it might be a confusing... It might be one of those, you know, where some people, they say, "I don't know what that means, so I'm going to take it as an insult."
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might be one of those.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying that Westbrook likes to eat pissy cereal.
No. And that could be actual urine-soaked cereal or upset cereal.
Yeah.
Depending on the version of the... Okay.
But he plays like a man possessed, like someone who's getting revenge on someone who miterated in his cereal.
Maybe you could say like he's playing like someone put cocaine in his cereal or...
I did throw away something where I said Russell Westbrook was the methamphetamine candidate.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's a good one.
In fact, if Russ gets 11 or more rebounds in his next game, he will officially be averaging a triple-double for this season.
Wow.
And just the other night, Westbrook is now tied with LeBron for sixth all-time in triple-doubles.
Oh, wow.
And he's played 395 fewer games than LeBron.
That's nuts.
So I don't know if it's a diss, but Westbrook plays like someone pissed in his cereal.
On the next episode of Brick House,
we'll tell you about how the Time Warner cable candidate Kevin Durant said after the Warriors win in Toronto that he doesn't give a damn about Drake Night.
Whoa.
Next episode, we'll tell you what members of the NBA don't care about. They tell us this more often than what they do care about, I think, right?
Yeah.
People always say,
I don't care what the media says.
I don't care about personal stats.
Yeah.
I don't care about money.
Yeah.
I don't care about endorsements. And basically, they're saying, like, these are the things that I care about exclusively.
Yeah, right.
But what about what they really don't give a damn about? I believe Durant when he says he doesn't give a damn about Drake Knight.
Sure.
I believe Phil Jackson when he says he doesn't give a damn about anything.
So this is what we're looking forward to next week.
Next week, Matt.
Ooh.
Of course, if you tweet us your NBA Manchurian candidate ideas or what NBA players don't give a damn about at Brickhouse Pod, yeah. And we'll read the best ones on the show.
Oh, wow.
How do you like that?
I like it.
Thanks for listening. Hope you had a great holiday. Spend your hard-earned cash on steinersports.com. Offer code Almighty and save some of it. Subscribe to Brickhouse Podcast and check out the other pods on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. We'll talk to you next week on the next episode of Brickhouse.